When a problem arises, how we respond will determine the outcome. Fast response increases the likelihood of a positive solution. When lives are at stake, for example, during a school shooting, the rapid pace of that deadly problem has always moved ahead of the possible solution. Time it takes for a shooter to attack versus the amount of time it takes for law enforcement to respond has cost a silently increasing number of innocent lives. And it's not to fault the police to do everything they can, except in Uvalde, Texas, but I digress. Faster notification will result in a faster response. That's what my next guest is here to introduce. He is a retired FBI agent and now director of training with Safe Defend, Greg Vecchi. How are you today, Greg?
Doing well. Thanks so much for having me on.
Well, this is important to bring to as many people's attention as possible because as we look at the stats, and to learn more, safedefend.com, if we look at the stats of each and every year, you can go back to 2008. This is courtesy of Gun Violence Archive, Every Town and Education Week. 18 school shootings in 2008. You look at so far this year, 2024, we're almost at that number already, 16. And if you're wondering, it was 82 in 2023. Is it just a matter of the level of violence, the level of anger, do you think, is increasing? Or is it a lack of awareness, preparedness that is throwing down an unfortunate welcome mat for these acts of violence?
Well, I think it's both, to be perfectly honest with you. Instances, I mean, if you look, you know, over time, are on the rise. They're getting deadlier. This is kind of bore out with the statistics. But we also have to look at it that this is a very, very unique form of violence. This is not, you know, gang violence. This is not domestic violence. This is someone who has a grievance. They feel that they were wronged, or they feel persecuted or like bullied, or they've experienced a significant loss, or maybe even for ideological reasons. But at the end of the day, the reason they do it is because of a grievance that they can't resolve on their own or with the help of other people. And like any crisis, when it gets bad enough, violence becomes the answer. And then they start on this pathway. And the problem that we run into is, which is a little bit outside of the scope of our conversation today, but certainly worth mentioning, is the preventive things that you can do using threat assessment, crisis intervention, and identifying someone, especially in schools, because around 91% of the offenders are going to be a current or former student. And so knowing that and then understanding threat assessment, there's some great opportunities to prevent it. But as you mentioned with these numbers, these things can't always be prevented. Either we don't have the information, we don't have the ability to assess it, and frankly, we're dealing with people, and you can never predict human behavior. So then that puts us into the situation where we now have to respond to it, and then that's where the Safe Defense system and our training comes in.
No, I get into that as the important focus of this segment, but again, relying on your experience through FBI and as a trainer and teacher that you've been, did it catch you as odd that back in the day, I guess we'd say, shooters like this were wanting to be killed at the end of their act, and now we see more and more actually looking to survive because whether it's they feel they're proving a point or they've done right in some twisted mind. Has that really changed to a serious degree where these are people who don't have a death wish, they have a purpose and they want to perpetrate it?
Well, I think it's increasing. I think that you can actually make the argument that, you know, this that targeted violence, the grievance, the violent intent that follows, the researching, the planning, and the preparing and getting the weapons and things like this. You can argue that works both ways, both in a potentially someone who will commit suicide or someone that determines that they have a grievance against the outside. So basically, it's a targeted violence. Is it targeted within, like suicide, or is it targeted without? And I think that, you know, some of the factors to consider as far as the increase in the violence outward towards teachers, towards, you know, other students or in the workplace or even in church shootings and things like this, you know, there are things that we have now that we didn't have back in, you know, Columbine or even before. And some of these other shootings that you know, go back quite a long way. And that's the instant news coverage, the ability to become instantly famous, the way to show how you're right, and, of course, the social media, as well as some of the, you know, video game influence and things like this. None of these, obviously, are direct causations of it, but they do factor in as threat enhancers. So I think that's kind of, you know, to kind of answer your question, I hope that I did, what we're kind of seeing and why it seems to be becoming more of an issue. But I do have to say, though, that it's still very, very rare. But the problem is it has such a traumatic impact on the psychology of everyone.
The foundation of these acts to take place is basically it's a matter of time. The average shooting and casualties take place within 3 minutes. By and large, as according to FBI stats, average response time is around 11 minutes. The average 911 call takes 75 seconds from the time of dialing to providing dispatch with enough information so they know where to go generally and then specifically. So how does Safe Defend close that gap in that time equation?
Okay, that's a great question. I think one of the things you have to understand as far as the notification time is that we're looking at three factors having to do with notification and then the police actually responding to the situation. What we focus on is protecting the critical time gap between when the attack occurs and the attack ends, however that is. Rather, it's police intervention, the person kills himself, maybe they escape or walk away, whatever it is. And our focus is on the potential victims. Our training is not geared toward law enforcement, first responders. It's geared toward students and kindergarten teachers and school counselors and employees and supervisors in both workplace and school environment. So that's the focus of the people we're trying to help. And so we look at everything that we do in the prepare, notify, and protect area, which I'll cover each one of these for you, is that time gap. It's completely focused on, you know, from the time you hear a gunshot to the time you're safe. And what can you do to reduce that time gap and reduce the potential for harm? So the first thing, and of course the preparation, that's the training. The preparation is the training and the technology, and they go together. Now I'll touch on the notification piece, because that's what you just mentioned. When you look at notification, it's basically it consists of three elements or three parts. The first is getting 911 or the emergency responders the information they need, that first of all there's a problem, and secondly, you know, where is it at so they can start moving. So that's the first part. And so that's usually done by, you know, calling 911 your cell phone. There might be some sort of a panic alarm or something like this, okay? The next part of the notification delay, that's number one, is however long it takes law enforcement to respond once they start rolling. And that's typically usually very, very good. And I want to emphasize that this is in no way a problem with law enforcement. Most law enforcement officers are now responding sometimes in as little as 1 to 3 minutes, okay? But they can't respond, and they don't know the direction they're going until they know that there's even an issue. The third problem is when they arrive on scene. Where do they start? Where is the offender? Because oftentimes you're with schools that have multiple buildings and campuses, and they don't know where to start. So however long, that's a big question mark. So in what you mentioned, you know, we're looking at well over an average of 13 minutes before they even get there and start looking for the offender. That's what we're focusing on with Safe Defend. So as far as with the technology, how we make that better, is we do it through biometrics. And I kind of look at it as kind of a fire alarm for an active shooter or active killer event. Like a fire alarm, it's hardwired. Only people who are programmed in the system can activate it, and they activate it through a biometric scanner, and they just basically put your index finger on it. And so the idea is that if you can touch a reader, all the notification is done for you so you can focus on keeping yourself and your students or your employees safe. What happens is that when, let's say, a teacher hears a gunshot, they touch the biometric scanner. Within 3 seconds, 911 is notified. And here's what 911 gets in terms of a text, in terms of email, and also in terms of someone live who's going to call 911. They're going to get who set it off, who set the alarm off, where it was set off, what room it was set off, what floor of the building, the name of the school or workplace, the address of the school or workplace, and what's really effective here for that third problem of that notification about, you know, where do you start when the police get there to look for the bad guy? It actually gives you the nearest door, outside door, to the area of the initial emergency. And so that takes all the burden off everyone, including the person who's scared to death, so they can focus on staying safe, and they do it all with the touch of a finger. The other thing is it's hardwired, like a fire alarm, it's hardwired. It's a dedicated system, so you're not going to get it confused with, you know, disciplinary or bad weather or something like this. When it goes off, like a fire alarm, it is dedicated to that emergency. So what happens then is after the notification, then we look into the protect piece. So we have the prepare, which is the training and the technology on how to notify. We just covered that. And then once everyone's notified with that touch of a finger, they have access to tools. And we give them tools, two sets of tools. One are safety tools, and the other are medical or stop the bleed tools. The safety tools are in a bag along with the medical tools, and they're in a cabinet. And so when you put your finger on your cabinet in your classroom or wherever, the door pops open immediately. Alarm, all the notification goes out, as I just said, and they have a go bag. And in the go bag, they have a number of tools, but the three major ones for protection is going to be a strobe flashlight, a baton, and gel pepper spray that sprays 21 feet and it won't blow back in wind. And those are the protection tools. The other thing that is available are three major medical items. One is pressure bandage, hemostatic gauze that you stuff the wound with that stops bleeding, and a tourniquet. And, of course, with those tools comes not just an instruction manual, but we actually physically train the employees, the teachers, the staff, everybody on the use of this. And then we have drills that we employ. And so then we break it down to three major things that you can use these tools for, possibly. And it's basically escaping, evading, or engaging. And so, of course, if they can get out, we have training on what to look for. What are the best practices for escaping safely? You got your tool bag with you in case you need it. Someone's hurt or you need to protect yourself. We also give training on that was escaping, and then we also give it on evading, which is what we consider lockdown. Best practices for locking down, hiding, understanding between cover and concealment, and then engaging, which is usually when the offender breaks into a room where the people are, and you use these tools to protect yourself from that offender. I want to emphasize that we in no way train or encourage anyone to go after the offender. This is strictly for defense at the end of your space.
This is why I wanted to bring Safe Defend to your attention, because there are countless apps out there for the technical side of protecting and notification. We've seen aspects where it takes one idea of security, but not a complete picture, to slow down a shooter, but not stop and not properly, confidently respond. And what you heard Greg describe regarding what Safe Defend offers, it is really a complete picture of preparation, awareness, understanding, appreciation of the reality of a situation and the role that you can play in school as well as at a workplace, too. This applies in both situations to survive. It's really as simple as that through the 3 points that Safe Defend provides with prepare, notify, and protect. You get a full training, a full confidence, and a full knowledge of what you can do to, if not prevent, limit the loss of life in these situations as much as possible. Learn more. You can go to safedefend.com with your questions, with your interest, whatever the case may be, and they will respond because they understand, too, at Safe Defend, the importance of this work and what they are offering schools and businesses of all sizes, of all locations. And in these days of more and more angry people, more and more violent people, to be ahead of the problem before it starts is your best way to prevent the problem from overtaking you and innocent lives. He is the director of training, retired FBI agent from Safe Defend. Great, Vicky. Thanks for the work that you guys are doing as far as helping us understand the empowerment that we are capable when we are taught right, supplied right, and connected right. Thanks for being here today.
My pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.